In the first lesson from Deuteronomy, Moses instructs the children of Israel, "In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command, nor subtract from it." In the second lesson from the letter of St. James, the apostle urges the disciples of the Lord Jesus, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves." And in the Gospel from Mark, the Lord Jesus excoriates the Pharisees. "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" In each of these three cases, sacred scripture warns us today against the danger of false religion. And here we must note a problem for modern man. If all religion is merely a private matter of personal taste or superstition, then it is impossible for any religion to be either true or false, which is one of the many reasons why neither a Christian nor a Jew may ever consent to the agnostic assertion that all religion is a private matter of personal taste. And once we grasp that there is such a thing as false religion, then we need to see that there are two kinds of false religion. The first kind is what we normally think of as false religion, pagan idolatry. Think, for example, of the pagan gods of Egypt, Greece, and Rome. But all of that is in the remote past. There are still, however, other similar forms of pagan idolatry in the ancient but still present religions of Hinduism and Shintoism. But alongside that first kind of false religion is a second and different kind, and it is by far the more dangerous for us. This false religion is the worship of the true God in a false way. Of all the religions on earth, only three claim to be directly revealed by God: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Christians believe, of course, that the first two, Judaism and Christianity, are in fact revealed by God, while Islam is not. Though Muslims believe that they worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they do so, we believe, in a way invented by man, taking little oddments and bits of biblical religion and mixing them in a syncretistic way with a variety of other religions to produce a false religion. But Jews and Christians believe that we worship the one only living and true God in the way he himself revealed. The fact, though, that there is the possibility of false religion even in worshiping the true God reminds us of the danger that we face. That is, replacing divine revelation with human experience and wisdom, and then calling it faith. In the teaching of Moses and the Lord Jesus, this very simply constitutes false religion. Since 2004, I have used the eight principles of evangelical Catholicism to help explain the challenges posed to us by a very dangerous false religion, cultural Catholicism. This form of idolatry begins by thinking that religion is a matter primarily of belonging to the tribe rather than of believing the revealed word. "Of course I'm a Catholic," the cultural Catholic thinks. "My grandmother was from Ireland, or Italy, or Poland, or Mexico, or the Philippines, or Colombia, or Lebanon. Fill in the blank to account for your own tribe." But if ethnic identity is the only or even the primary source of one's religion, then that religion is false. This is so because no one is born a Christian. One must be born again a Christian, We all come into the world as a child of wrath, but we come out of the baptismal font as a child of God by the grace of adoption. But the sacrament of baptism is not magic. Baptism, like all the sacraments of the New Covenant, is a sacrament of faith. Faith in the Word of God. The Word of God eternal, the Word of God incarnate, and the Word of God written. And it is belief in that Holy Word, not the place on the map from which one's ancestors came, that makes one a disciple of the Lord Jesus and a member of His Holy Church. The false religion of cultural Catholicism is now crumbling fast before our eyes. More than 1 in 10 Americans is now an ex-Catholic, and Americans with no religion will soon outnumber Americans who practice the Catholic faith. This is what happens when membership in the tribe, rather than faith in the Word of God, is the foundation of one's religion. You see, once the bonds of tribal loyalty are loosened by education, prosperity, and mobility, then religious conviction is among the first things to be cast off in the service of forging a new identity for oneself, an identity that usually refuses all limits on personal desire. Long after they cease to believe the gospel, cultural Catholics may still call themselves Catholic, or say wistfully, "I was raised Catholic," but they are not disciples of the Lord Jesus. And during this summer of shame, we have learned to our great sadness and disgust that not a few of these baptized pagans have also been ordained to the presbyterate and the episcopate, and that at least one of them was raised to the College of Cardinals. You see, false religion can be found anywhere, even in the highest ranks of the church. An ordination is no substitute for living faith and personal friendship with the Lord Jesus. But the temptation to false religion is nothing new, which is why St. James had to address this problem 2 millennia ago. He wrote, "Put away all filth and evil excess, and humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls." And friends, that word is planted in us by Christ at our baptism. James continues, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." But to find religion pure and undefiled, we must first avoid the path of false religion. And the Lord Jesus explains false religion by quoting the prophet Isaiah. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me." And then he explains that the unconverted heart is the origin of the things that defile us. "From within, out of the heart of man," says the Savior, "come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man." But if the origin of false religion is the unconverted heart, then the remedy for this life of emptiness and rebellion is constant conversion from sin, a lifelong journey that begins at our baptism when the virtues of faith, hope, and love are poured into us and make it possible for us to cooperate with God's grace to find freedom from the cruelest slavery of all, our own disordered self-love. Consider the way of the life proposed to us by the Lord Jesus. We are called to live the grace of our baptism by joining the church every Sunday to celebrate the Lord's Supper and be nourished unto everlasting life. We are called to pray each day by lifting up our hearts to God in adoration, praise, petition, and contrition. We are called to read, study, and pray with Holy Scripture so that we may know the eternal plan of salvation and see it unfolding both in the history of the world and in the story of our own lives. We are called to honor our parents and to treat all others as we wish to be treated. We are called never to lie, cheat, lust, steal, or kill, even in our hearts. We are called to honor our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit and never to pollute or defile them with sexual sin, pornography, birth control, drugs, or alcohol abuse. We are called to marry only in the church and to abstain from sexual intimacy outside of marriage. We are called to serve others as we would serve Christ himself, particularly the unborn, the abandoned, the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, the elderly, the immigrant, and the refugee. We are called to confess our sins in the sacrament of penance whenever needed. And we are called to teach everyone we meet that Jesus Christ is Lord, helping them to find saving faith in the Word of God and to surrender themselves to Christ's dominion through the sacraments of the new and eternal covenant. That, my friends, is religion true and undefiled. And once we have surrendered our minds, our wills, our bodies, and our entire selves to the Word of God in the obedience of faith, then we find not servitude, but the true freedom of the children of God. The remedy, in other words, for the false religion of cultural Catholicism is the true religion of evangelical Catholicism. We are Catholics, not because we belong to the tribe, but because we believe the Word. And once we understand our need for ongoing conversion from our sins, then we can cooperate with God's grace to shape our lives according to the truth of the gospel, the truth that sets us free. But our conversion cannot even begin until we are willing to call our sins, sins. And disputes over the very nature of sin are often at the heart of our present culture wars, both between the church and the world and even within the church. And that is why we must rely on the truth of the revealed Word of God, the gospel, to know with certainty what is contrary to the eternal law and love of our Creator, and therefore contrary to authentic human dignity. Put most simply, if Holy Scripture teaches that something is a sin, let us not allow the New York Times to convince us otherwise. This dimension of true religion was either rejected or perhaps never even accepted by the bishops and priests who disgraced themselves and injured so many with their damnable crimes. And now at least we know that false religion has produced not only baptized pagans, but also ordained pagans. If anything good is to come from this summer of shame, let it be a renewed commitment by all the baptized and all the ordained to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus ever more perfectly and to share his gospel with others for the salvation of the world. And that, my friends, is why we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest we delude ourselves and make our religion in vain. At our baptism, the Lord Jesus called each of us by name to follow him in the way of the cross, and he grafted us onto his holy people Israel by making us members of his church. We must therefore heed his call to holiness by living as evangelical Catholics who bear witness to the Lord Jesus and the truth of his gospel through radical conversion, deep fidelity, joyful discipleship, and courageous evangelism. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever.